Welcome friends to this module called motivation. Something which does not require much of introduction. At the same time, we need to understand what is motivation. We use this word very frequently and we'll try and understand what is motivation to do as an important part of human resources management. Now, when we talk about HRM, you know, it's not a department. It's not a subject. It's a way of life. So those of you who are listening to me who are planning specialization in other areas other than HR, finance, you know, marketing or supply chain or whatever, please be aware that this is equally important. This is not a subject to be left alone in semester 2. So please look at motivation from a very broader angle. It is about you and me. It's about everybody. So long as you're working with people, motivation is an important part of our aspect of living, right? Now, HR, particularly human resources management, is considered to be the spring well of HR, of motivation. Human resources management is considered to be the spring well of motivation. If you are an HR person, the first and foremost quality which I look for in you, are you a naturally motivated person or not? Which means, what is the raw material for HR? What is work in progress for HR? What are the finished goods for HR? It's all human beings. And human beings means we are talking about human beings and their emotions. So an HR person, most importantly, should learn how to address human issues when they come to them. There are two categories of HR functions. One is a back office, admin type of functions, which does not have much of human emotion interface. You prepare a performance appraisal form behind, or a wages and wage benefits, compensation benefit forms behind the back office. That doesn't have much of HR job in it, in terms of human emotions. Those functions like training and development, recruitment selection, employee engagement, employee welfare, wherein you're dealing with people every day, that's the time you realize that the HR person who's in front of you has to have a very high level of motivation. When I go to an HR person, I'm expecting some solution, some sort of a positive response from him. In many organizations, this is not true, unfortunately. The HR people have to train themselves to understand what is motivating them, and they should keep their motivation levels pretty high. If I can loosely talk about a scale, on a scale of say 1 to 10, 1 being lowest and 10 being highest, a HR person should be as near as 8.59. A very high level of motivation and morale, because people come to them with solution, with problems, and the problems are not that much important as you listening to them, giving them an ear. And as human beings, all of us have got our own shortcomings. People come in different shapes, sizes, colors and backgrounds, and I have my own liking and disliking towards people. Certain people I like, certain people I do not like. Now, as a human being, this is one factor which I must be aware of to ensure that when a person comes to me with a problem, I must handle the problem objectively. To handle it objectively, I must learn to understand that I am a human being with my own feelings. For me to motivate you, I must be motivated, in short. It's important to understand that motivation is a backbone of any HR department or any HR function. If you are dealing with people and you want to rise to become a leader, motivation of yours comes first. Situation may be anything, but are you motivated about the situation? That's a big question. Now, this is a very important aspect which we need to understand to go through this particular process called motivation. Am I about the situation, or is the situation controlling me? The objective of the session, these are the four objectives which we'll be addressing broadly. What is motivation? Some of the early theories of motivation, some of the contemporary theories of motivation, which is the recent theories, and application of motivation in an organization. The structure of the session will be nature and importance of motivation. First, we'll be discussing some of the theories of motivation. Then we come to the contemporary or the modern theories, applied motivation practices, and related reading and summary. We'll conclude with that. So what is the nature and importance of motivation? What is motivation? It's a process which begins with a physiological need. Physiological means body needs, the physical needs. Need for air, food or water, or a psychological need coming from here. Either it is bodily need or it's a mental need, as per this definition. There are a number of definitions for motivation. Now, this definition says it's a process which begins with physiological need or a psychological need, which triggers behavior that is aimed at a goal. For example, I can talk to you with a goal that I want my students to listen to me. Now, if that goal is there in my mind right now, I'm just giving you an example, not about me. If I am talking to you with a goal that I want my students to listen to me attentively and absorb whatever I'm saying, then there may be a psychological need in me for acceptance from you people. Now, when that need is there in me and I recognize it, that automatically makes me work quite committed towards delivering this lecture to you. So, this triggers a behavior that is aimed at a goal. Motivation is a characteristic that helps an individual achieve his goal. Motivation comes from the word mover, which means moving. It's a movement. What moves? Some thoughts move towards an action. So motivation is that thing that impels me towards doing something, thinking in certain direction. So for motivation, there is always a trigger. In other words, the trigger can be either physiological or it can be psychological, either of the two, right? Performance is considered to be a function of ability and motivation. Now, this is one of the equations drawn by somebody in the past who says job performance is equal to ability into motivation, or it's a function of ability and also motivation. You may have the ability, but if there is no motivation, you may not give job performance. Or you may have the motivation, but not the ability, the skills, then you may not give the job performance. So job performance is a combination of ability and motivation. So in many organizations, we get highly skilled people, but there is no motivation because of various reasons. Then the job performance comes down. Or we may have in companies, motivation is very high, but skilled people are not there. Then what happens? The work is going on, but the quality is not coming in. What are the benefits? When it puts human resources into action and everyone concerned requires physical, financial, human resources to accomplish its goals. So motivation is multifaceted. I get motivated to live a good life because there are needs of mine. I get motivated to relate to people because I'm a social animal. I get motivated to achieve something higher because I have some ambition of doing something further. So it's multifaceted. So you may get motivated in one area of your life because there's a need, physiological or a psychological need coming in. In another area, you may not do it because the need is yet to arise. For example, some students, they don't really study in the beginning of the semester. Many of you don't do it. But the need arises for you to study at the end of the semester because the exams are nearing. Now that is also a form of a motivation. So motivation is coming from your need. What is a need? A need is a basic necessity. There's a need for us to breathe air. It's a need. If I block my nose right now, for about next 10, 15, 20 seconds, I would be gone. I'd get choked. First, I'll be going through discomfort. I'll get choked and then finally I'll be gone. So a need is a basic necessity. So when you feel that there's a necessity for doing it, that's the time people get motivated. There's also a related reading I want you to read, go through. It is called as the Need Drive Theory of Motivation. Need Drive Theory of Motivation. They say whenever a need arises in an individual, automatically a drive is developed inside. That's a sort of a drive which comes from an instinct. It is there in all of us. And this drive takes you automatically, even without thinking, it takes you towards fulfilling the goal. Need Drive Theory of Motivation. So this is another theory which I wanted to understand. So in short, all motivation is pointing towards need. A need arises and the need is getting fulfilled. It becomes a motivation. Very simple. Okay. What happens when people are motivated? It is through motivation that human resources can be fully utilized. You can go to the office every day. You can do a job, a routine job, a boring job. It will get too boring. And there are people who just go through the motions of doing it again and again and again and again. But in the bargain, what happens? You are finding yourself not having that spark, that substance, that feeling joyful. The feeling joyful, when it comes, your output goes up, and you're able to come to the office you feel good to come to the office. Instead, if that joyful feeling is lacking, what happens? You do not come out with a proper utilization of your own resources. improves level of efficiency of employees. Since I feel motivated, my efficiency improves. Nobody need to push me because I'm self-driven. And since I'm self-driven, the push happens and my efficiency goes up. I give more output than usual. When ability is coupled with willingness through motivation, the improvement of efficiency happens when ability is coupled with the willingness through motivation. When I'm motivated, I'm willing to do things. If I'm not motivated, there is always a resistance. And when the resistance comes, what happens? I do it because I've been told to do it. Either there are two ways of doing a task. One is I have to do it. The other one is I want to do it. I want to do it is speaking of true motivation coming from within you. All motivation is driven from inside. There may be some external factors that may try to give you the inducement for getting motivated, but those external factors, once they stop, your internal motivation might also stop. So all motivation needs to come from inside you. That's the true motivation. Anything that comes inside from inside you is the true motivation. Everything else outside is influencing factors. They say money is a great motivator, right? Now, up to what point is money a motivator? Not to a very important large point. Beyond a point, if too much of money is given to you and your quality of life is suffering, you do not get proper break times in the office, neither do you reach home on time, you're late every day, then what sort of a quality of life you'll be going through? Up to a point, you may do it as a youngster, but as days progress, you'll say, enough is enough, money I don't want, I want good conditions of working. This is very true. Okay? Improves levels of efficiency of employees when ability is coupled with willingness through motivation. The cost of operation is reduced, overall efficiency is improved, and productivity increases. These are things which are already evident from our discussion so far. Taking it further, what are the benefits? It leads to achievement of organization goals. I am motivated, you are motivated, our team is motivated, so the organization goals go up. What I would otherwise do as 100 units per hour, I may push it up to 120 because I'm self-driven. Same thing happens to you. You are given a goal of 150, you push it up to 180 on your own. And we start, we enjoy doing what we are doing. And when all of us do it together, the organization goals automatically get achieved more than expected. Right? Motivation leads to this achievement as there is a best possible use of resources. Work environment is cooperative. Everybody comes together like a team, like a truly spirited team. Employees are goal-directed, and coordination and cooperation ensures good goals are achieved. Okay? Taking it further, it builds friendly relationships. If you have been to office in certain companies, inside the motivation is very poor. The company is achieving fantastic results. Some company cultures, very large organizations I know, which are achieving results, but people don't stay there for long. They come there like travelers, 1 or 2 years they stay there, and since they are at a short stay, the client servicing is also pathetic. Many things go wrong. And within them, among them, as a team, there is no bonding because everybody is working in a pressure cooker situation. They are not enjoying the job. When they don't enjoy the job, what happens? The relationship between people also goes for a toss. People don't develop bonding. They don't start liking each other. In fact, they create a lot of toxic energy, poisonous energy. This is very evident in certain cultures, right? Motivation is an important factor which brings employee satisfaction, and this is achieved by framing an incentive plan for the benefits of the employees. Now, when we say incentive plan, we are not talking about monetary all the time. The incentive can be in different forms, like giving a compensatory off or giving them some other benefits which are non-monetary. These can be incentives, something that makes him feel joyful more than usual. Okay? Incentives are initiated in the form of monetary or non-monetary, as I've mentioned, promotions. Disincentives for inefficient workers, that is, you ensure that efficient people are given rewards and inefficient people are not given rewards. I wouldn't call it punishment, they are not given rewards. In many companies, due to other reasons, political reasons, inefficient people are made to go ahead and the efficient people are made to sit behind. Now, the efficient person who is self-motivated would take it very badly, and in the bargain, he gets demotivated. If that is the purpose of the organization to demotivate people, let them do it. But that is not the purpose. The purpose is to see that everybody is motivated. When individual factors come, certain other personal factors come into picture, then we have division of people within the company. This motivation is going for a toss in that case. That is one thing we need to be aware of. When people do not work properly, we have to make them work properly and motivate them. Instead, we overlook that and we allow them to be inefficient. And that results in efficient people losing their motivation. This is very common in many organizations. Once these incentives are arranged, management can expect the following: effective cooperation that brings in stability, reduction in employee unrest and disputes. There's a lot of bonding and a lot of good behavior, supportive behavior. Employees adaptable to changes required for improvement. Whenever the company is going through a change and you have a body of people who are highly motivated, they are willing to absorb change. But if you are always guarded, if you always feel what is going to happen to me, and you know you are always guarded against other people around you, then whenever a change is happening, you cannot take the change and you will resist change. So organizations which resist change, you can find that in them, you will have the employees are not very motivated. They are having a lot of unrest and disputes among themselves. Employees adaptable to changes required for improvement. Integration of organization goals with individual goals. So when I am motivated, I not only achieve my goals, I also achieve organization goals and vice versa. I not only achieve organization goals, but I achieve my goals also. One point to be noted is motivation is totally personal. It's the way I look at life. It's like a bottle of water which is half empty and half full. If you choose to look at it as half full, that's motivation for me. But if you look at it as an emptiness, if you look at the deficit, not the surplus, then the motivation is decided by you, by the way you look at the bottle of water. Okay? Integration of organization goals with individual goals. Then finally, we come to maximize profits through increased productivity. Each one is leading to the other, in short. It leads to stability of workforce. When people are motivated, people are job satisfied, they will stay there. And when people stay in a place for some time, that's the time they start handling higher functions. There's a certain amount of maturity and crystallization of thoughts, words, actions, etc. They start seeing the larger picture. Those of you who leave companies very frequently, 2 years, 1 year, people leave companies, youngsters do it. Do you achieve stability? No. But when you stay in a company for 4 or 5 or 6 years, you see the larger picture of the company. Now, for people to stay, to see the larger picture, they have to motivate themselves into looking at the positives of the organization rather than the negatives. Now, this is easily said than done. Many of us don't do this. And we have got a lot of languaging that comes from outside world. Many people tell you many, many things about a company A which you are working in, or even before you join. So what happens? Half your motivation is already drained by external languaging. If external languaging is going to drain your motivation, you are like a football. You get kicked from side to side. Instead, if you start choosing your motivation your way, then you will find that even in a very small organization, if you are working, you will be able to give higher output and you achieve the stability pretty well. Stability is about you becoming emotionally stable, career-wise stable, and also monetarily stable. Now, all these things, all of you will agree, comes only when you are able to stick on and understand the larger picture. Anything in life, if you want to understand the larger picture of anything, even the dialogue I am having with you right now, you can take this dialogue as just another lecture meant for the HRM project, HRM subject. If you take it that way, you will listen to me in a very routine fashion, very boring it may be for you at one point of time. You may even stop the video. Instead, if you look at it as a larger picture of your own growth, distance learning program as a larger picture, and in the DLP, this is one subject, this motivation is something that's going to be absorbed by me and I'm going to make a better person of myself, then this dialogue I'm having with you will make a lot of sense to you. Then what will happen is when you start doing that, gradually you'll find yourself getting stable and stable. You'll become much more mature. It's very important. Stability of workforce is very important from the point of view of reputation and goodwill of an organization. Not only organization, even yours. Your goodwill and your reputation is based on the stability that you have in your way of thinking, actions, and also words. Employees can remain loyal to the organization only when they have a feeling of participation in the management. Skills and efficiency of employees will always be advantageous to the employees as well as to the employers. So, motivation is a very fertile starting point to develop skills. If I'm asked to do some work and I'm really motivated, I develop the skills faster. Consider the times when you learned swimming or cycling. You went willingly. When you went willingly, your learning was faster. At other times, somebody forced you to learn some skill, it took a long time, or you gave up even learning the skills. So when something is coming from within, it's faster. Okay? So here we have motivation is important to an individual. Now we talked about organization earlier. Now it's about the individual, about you and me. What happens to us? Personal goals are achieved. Obviously, we get motivated to do our personal achievements. There's a job satisfaction. We enjoy going to the workplace and start working. Self-development of an individual takes place. Self-development meaning what? I start working on those negativities of my life because I'm motivated. I want to be a better individual. I want to have a quality of life. So when this happens, my self-growth takes place. Self-development leads to self-growth. Individual works in a dynamic team. Individual works in a dynamic team. He works in a team which is, you know, moving around. They're progressing towards goals. They're achieving things. They're correcting themselves. They're not feeling down. And motivation is important to organizations. First we talk about individual, now it is about organization. That word motivation should have come here, but I'll just read it from the motivation is important to organization as motivated employees form empowered teams. When we are motivated, we form teams which are empowered. Empower means what? Power is we get power to do things. Transfer of motivation from A to B leads to empowerment. Transfer of motivation from A to B leads to empowerment. The person is in a position to take decisions. He is able to work on his own because he feels safe, and as a result, he is willing to take a risk. My way of looking at empowerment is that when I am motivated, I transfer the motivation to you by giving you that positive strokes so that you feel less threatened and you're willing to take a risk. If you want to empower people to become future leaders and future managers, then we need to learn to empower people. Merely I getting motivated doesn't make my team get motivated. The team has also to be empowered. You should give them that particular feeling and you must encourage them to start doing things on their own, and you must learn to correct them instead of punishing them when things go wrong. This is something which needs to be followed, but not many people do. Teamwork and individual employees start feeling good about themselves. Contribution makes make business profitable and successful, more adaptable and creative during the period of turmoil and challenging attitude at workplace. There's a mix up on the slides. I'm sorry about it. Basically, what has happened is in this case, we are talking about the importance of motivation to the employee and to the company. The bottom line is when motivation happens, the organization starts having committed people, bonded people who are willing to make corrections as and when it is required. They are willing to change, in other words. They are one force which takes things ahead. When things go wrong, they are able to correct themselves. There is no pointing fingers at each other, no blame fixing, nothing like that. Now we talk about some early theories of motivation. Now these theories of motivation are nothing but studies done by certain behavioral scientists. And these studies have been broadly categorized into two categories. One is called as the content theories of motivation. Content theories of motivation. And the other one is called as a process theories of motivation. Two categories. Content theories of motivation are addressing what motivates. It is external. What motivates. Whereas process theories of motivation addresses the how and the why of motivation. The how and the why is inside me. What motivates? Money motivates. Money is externally coming to me. In spite of giving money, a person is not getting motivated. So I have to ask a question, why is he not motivated and how to motivate him? Andar wali baat. It's a thing that is coming from inside. So we have one set of theories which we'll be discussing, which is based on the content theory. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a very popular theory, which is a content theory of motivation. What is the theory? It's a pyramid basically. Now, Maslow's pyramid says human beings have wants and desires. Only unsatisfied needs influence behaviors. Only unsatisfied needs influence behaviors. That thing which is lacking in your life makes you work towards having it happen. Right? When you do not have money, you get motivated to make more and more money. But after you made more and more money, money may not be important for you. Something else comes up in your life. And human life is full of eternal needs and wants. Needs are basic, wants are derived. Need plus desire equal to wants. Need plus desire equal to wants. Right? So, human beings have many needs and they can be arranged in the order of their importance. That is what Maslow has done. Abraham Maslow has created a pyramid, and he says that needs are going in a hierarchical manner. The lowest one at the bottom and the highest one, it starts slowly going up. At the very basic level, there are certain basic needs which man has to first fulfill. It's only when he fulfills those needs, he goes to the next level and the next and the next and the next. It's a form of a model, a framework created by Maslow, a very popular framework which explains how people get motivated at different levels of their life. Only when one level of needs is satisfied, then the person moves to the next level. This is a theory that is made. A word of caution, my dear friends, when you're reading any theory in behavioral science, this is a behavioral science theory. It is a general observation, it is not a theorem. When you say a plus b whole square is equal to a square plus 2ab plus b square in algebra, it is true wherever you are, whenever it is happening. But when it comes to human behavior theories, they are indicators, they are not end-alls. So this theory will not be applicable to all mankind at all levels at everywhere in the world. No. These are indicators. By and large, you find people doing this. But there are exceptions to this also. There are certain people, for example, their basic needs are not fulfilled, but they are having a motivation towards higher needs. A person doesn't have money to eat food, but he may be in the roads painting some God's photo or something. We have seen this. He is highly motivated. He spent a lot of time doing that. Somebody will go and tell him, why are you wasting your time doing this? Earn more money, do some other work. But for him, through that he earns money. Now, art, drawing may be considered as a luxury for a person who is basically struggling to get things done. So this is not a one single theory, one glove fits all. It is not like that. Any behavioral theory is not based on that. It's unlike mathematics, unlike physics, where one law is universally applicable. In this case, it's not so. This is one thing which all of us need to understand, right? So Maslow's pyramid is a framework that tells you that by and large, most of the people, they get motivated in stages, in steps, in a pyramid form. Now this is the pyramid which he has drawn. At the bottom, we got the basic physical needs, food, water, shelter, sleep, sex, etc. These are the basic needs every human being has. And when these needs are not fulfilled, he cannot grow to the higher level of need fulfillment. Once these needs are taken care of and they're adequately taken care of, he feels satisfied. And he knows for sure that tomorrow also these needs, I'll take care of it because he's full of it. He's got more of it now. Then he goes to the second level, safety and security protection from any harm. These are called as safety needs. Then he looks for safety. Initially, when you do not have a home, you come new to a city, you don't have a home, you look for a home. Any place will do, even one single room will do, even a sharing in a dormitory is okay with you, right? After some time, when you become a little more safer, secure, that's the time you say, a dorm is not enough, I need to go for a home of my own. So you may go for a rental home, a one room to begin with, maybe a one room kitchen, and gradually you start developing. So only when the basic is taken care of, you go for the higher things. That's what Maslow believed in. But most of the people do not follow this, as you know. It is a framework which says that people go in steps. So once the physiological needs are taken care of, or the physical needs, then you go to the safety needs. The safety needs, when they're taken care of, then we come to the need to socialize and belong to people. These are individual to you and me, which means this is about me and myself alone. But after this, I want to also relate to people. We are social animals. So there's a need for us to love and also be loved. There's a need for us to belong and also feel the belonging. That need comes later at the higher level. And when this need is taken care of, when you feel emotionally secure, you know that somebody is there caring for you, when you have a family, when you have, you know, people around you, then according to Maslow, we go to what is called as ego needs fulfillment or self-esteem fulfillment, which is nothing but doing something in which people recognize you. Studying a post-graduation, for example, like most of you are doing, or doing something in which, you know, your individual expression comes out and society validates you. And finally, we have a very, very subtle need in all mankind called as self-actualization, which is a need that is practically having no agenda. You know, I just want to do charity. I just want to go and help people unconditionally. I want to go and give free tuitions to some poor children from the slums. Now, that's the need. That's pointing towards the meaningfulness of life. Now, this need is only with human beings. This need is there in all of us. It takes time for it to come out. Some people get the need coming out at a very young age. Some people get it in the middle age. Some people get it in the old age. Some people do not even recognize they have the need and they die with that. So these five steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stages is what the Maslow's pyramid model is all about.